We are on Chafei Amid Aleph. We're going to start 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines in the bottom of the page. Chafei Amid Aleph. The last thing the Gemara was talking about was two things. Number one, about damaging hidden organs of an Eved, if he goes out free or not. And the Gemara connected it also to the concept of Tumah. Okay? By Tumah. Because we know something hidden cannot become Tumah. If it's revealed, it does become Tumah. So the Gemara is discussing various parts of the body. Is it hidden? Is it not hidden? And so on. So the Gemara says, where are the rest of the guys?
I think they're making coffee.
Making lentil soup, probably. Okay, Amr Ula said, everybody agrees concerning the tongue, that inyan Tumah, that as far as Tumah goes, the Goliu ate the sheretz. That one of the bugs that are dead bugs that make something Tumay. So everybody agrees that a tongue is considered what? 25A3.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have that?
I have.
All the way on top.
On top, okay.
Beginning of the page. Okay. So Ola says everybody agrees that concerning them is his opinion of Rabbi Yehuda before, different various opinions. That says that if the tongue concerning Tumah as a din like an open limb. Therefore, if the sheretz touches it, it all becomes Tumah. My timer, the Gemara says, why does everybody agree by Tumah it's considered an open limb? Because it says in the Torah, by Tumah, sheyiga boy, that it will touch amirachmana, vainami, and also the tongue is by negiu, the tongue could be touched. If the tongue could be touched, by Tumah the main thing is it should be touched. So therefore, if a sheretz touches the tongue, it's considered as it's an open limb, and therefore it becomes tummy. But, lenyan tefila, as far as immersing in a mikvah, we'll soon see what that means, ketam and dummy is considered like a hidden organ. Okay? That means, when you tave on the mikvah, you don't have to stick out your tongue to get the tongue taveled. Even if your mouth is closed, it's a hidden limb that you don't have to reveal it.
I thought Shkotzim and Shkotzim, if you just touch it, it becomes Tumah. It doesn't have to be an open limb. It doesn't have to be... What does open limb mean?
What happens if a person with his tongue licked a dead sheretz? Is he Tumah or not?
If you touch it by your hand, are you Tumah?
Yeah, but because that's a revealed limb. If somebody touches it with a tongue, or somebody opens, you open your mouth, yeah, you open your mouth wide, and somebody takes a sheretz, one of the eight sheretzim, and touches your tongue, and it doesn't touch anything else of you. So do you become Tamerat? He says everybody agrees that you become Tomei. By mikveh, everybody agrees, Kutam and Tomei. That everybody agrees that is a din of hidden. Why? Because it says, my time of, because the Torah says, Verochatz besarib b'mayim omerachmono. The Torah says you should wash your flesh in the mikveh. My besarib me'avroi. Just like flesh is outside the body, it has to touch everything outside the body. Now, before the Gemara goes further, just to explain one din. If there is a chatzitza on the flesh, it's no good. If there's like a dirt or something there, it's no good. Because the Torah says, V'rochatz es p'sari b'mayim, the whole baser has to be in water. So if you have something that's blocking the water from touching the skin, it's no good. But that's only because it's outside, the Gemara says. What would be the tongue? The tongue is inside. Therefore, everybody agrees by Benigeh Mikveh, because the Torah uses the word Bechrochas as Besore Mamayim, Basit is outside, so the tongue is not outside. Leinachluku, so when is the argument between Rabbi and the Chacham that we learned about before? About a tongue, the machlekes is le'inyan hazah. When it comes to sprinkling the ashes of the paraduma on somebody that's tamei, does he need it on the tongue or not? What's the machlekes? Rabbi medama lo l'tuma. Rabbi likens it to tuma. And just like by tuma we said the tongue is an outside organ, as far as tuma, so therefore vahazah, the guy would have to stick out his tongue and sprinkle it. But Rabbanan, but the Chachamim, therefore, but the Chachamim, medamalul tefila. The Chachamim liken it to tefillah. And therefore, just like tefillah, it's an inside limb. So the same thing for the gas, squirting the ashes of the Par Aduma, it also doesn't need to be. Okay, so that's what the Chachamim says. So now the Gemara says, v'tavayu, the argument between the Rebbe and the Chachamim, if the tongue is considered inside or outside b'negei hazom, so then he says, v'haikra k'mifligi, they're arguing about the definition of one pasuk. What's the pasuk? He says, v'hi's a tohar al tamei. Concerning the Par Aduma, it says the tohar should sprinkle the water with the ashes on the tohar, on the tamei. So Rabbi Savad, v'hiza ator al atamei, v'yem ashlishi v'yem ashvi. What does the pasuk say? The tohar should sprinkle on the tamei person who came in contact with a dead body on the third day and on the seventh day and purify him. So therefore Rabbi says, what does the Torah call? V'chitay. And the Torah says tohar. So therefore we're likening it to the din of tahara. If we're likening it to the din of tahara, we just said by a mikveh, the tongue is an inside organ. It doesn't have to get wet. So therefore, by Hazor, the tongue also doesn't have to get wet. But Rabban and Savri, but the Chachamim hold, v'chit ebeyeim ashvi v'chibes begodav v'rochatz b'mayim. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. The Rebbe holds, no, Rebbe likens it to Tumah. Okay, why? I'm sorry. Yeah. Rebbe likens it to Tumah because it says, the Torah is calling him Tomei, right? So therefore it has a din of Tumah. If it has a din of Tumah, by Sheretz we said, the tongue, according to Rebbe, everybody agrees by Tumah, that it has a din of an open limb. So according to Rebbe, you do need to sprinkle the tongue, because we liken it to Tumah. But Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold no. It says, V'chitay b'yayim hashvi. You purify him on the seventh day. Okay? So, chitay goes with bayem ashvi, v'chibes begodav. So, v'chitay goes on the concept of tahara. So, this is the machlekes. By tuma, by sheretz, the tongue is an outside limb. By tuma, by tahara, the tongue is inside. So now the question, by sprinkling the ashes of Par Aduma, is it Tuma or is it Tahara? Rabbi holds it's a din of Tuma, therefore it's an open limb, therefore you need to squirt the tongue, the ashes actually stick out his tongue, and you have to squirt him with the ashes of the water and the ashes of the Par Aduma. Chacham liken it to Tahara, just like by mikveh you don't have to stick out your tongue in the mikveh. So the same thing, you don't have to stick out your tongue to become purified.
We learned that in case of acid, cut off the tongue.
That's how the Gemara got into that.
Oh, okay.
But then the Gemara went into Tumah and Tahara and Mikveh and a bunch of other things.
It's an inside, internal organ or not?
Right.
What's the smack of the Gemara to say that the tongue is chutz in Tumah?
Well, the Gemara learns it out from Psukim. By Tumah it says, Yigaboy. Anything that touches, the tongue is touchable. The other opinion says, V'rochatz besarei. Basar is open, the tongue isn't.
How about for Sarat, Rabbi, when it says in the parasha, it has to spread all over his body?
Doesn't mean literally all over the body. As long as it's a certain size. No. No. Exposed, yeah. So the Gemara asks, okay, the Rabbanan like it in Tara, but in the pasuk it does say Tum and Tara. So why do they liken it to Tahara? Why don't they liken it to Tumah? So Gemara says, Tahara mitahara avilei lemelef. Because purification, you become pure. Right? So why should we liken it to becoming Tumah? We should liken it to Mikveh. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi nedam letfila. Why don't we liken, Rabbi, why does he liken it to Tumah? Why doesn't he liken it to Mikveh? And therefore you don't need to get sprinkled on the tongue. He said, because over there the Torah says, V'chibes begodav hifsiko inyin. Because it's not speaking, because the Torah says, V'chita b'yem ashvi, and then it says, V'chibes begodav, and then it says, V'rochatz b'mayim. So he says the fact that in the middle it says the chibas begodov breaks the chitoy, which is the sprinkling from merachas b'mayim. So this Rebbe says you can't compare the two because the Torah doesn't put the two next to each other. In the middle there's a break of a chibas begodov. So therefore we liken it to the union of tumah, and therefore just like tumah, a tongue has an outside limb, so it is b'negei hazel. So the Gemara asks the question, and this is a very, very important din in the laws of mikveh. How could Rabbi say that a tongue is considered inside? That means you don't have to stick out your tongue in the mikveh to table it. But the Gemara says, Amr Rabin, Amr Avada, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. The old Rabin says the name of Ravada Amr Rabbi. In the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, he says like this. Maise b'shivcha shol beis Rabbi. There was a shivcha in Rabbi's house, same Rabbi, yeah? What happened? Shatovla, she went into the mikveh. Va'olsa, and she got up, came out of the mikveh. V'nim to etzem ben shina, and they found a bone stuck between her teeth. And it's richo Rabbi tvilach eres. Rabbi made her go again to the mikveh. Here we're saying that you don't have to table the tongue or the tooth, and over there, there was a chatzitza inside the mouth by the tooth, and Rabbi made her go again. If you tell me you don't have to table it, who cares if there's a bone or a piece of food or anything between there, who cares? So the Gemara answers, and this is very important din. Nehi de bias mayim le be'inan, you taka don't need to open up your mouth in the mikveh and get your teeth and tongue wet. But makom roi lavi b'mayim be'inan, it needs to be fit for water to go there. And this is a din that the Gemara is going to explain now with the din of Rav Zeira. Meaning like this, you don't have to table your inner organs. Including, meaning, you don't have to open your mouth to table. But you need it that technically water could go there without a problem. Even though you don't actually have water. Meaning, if you have something stuck in your teeth, even though the chayyur, you're not even tabling your teeth, your mouth is closed in the water. Nevertheless, if there's something foreign inside the mouth, it's still not good. Why? Because the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to explain now the din. Granted, you don't need the water to go there, but it needs to be fit for water to go there. Where do we see such a concept? So the Rab Zeira, like Rab Zeira says, the Amr Rab Zeira says concerning the mincha offerings, there has to be a certain amount, size of oil mixed with the flour. Now the Gemara learns, the Torah says, it needs to be mixed. The flour and oil needs to be mixed. Okay? Now, the din is, it has to be a certain keli, and a certain amount of flour and oil to make it mixable. If it's too much, it's not mixable, it's not kosher. Even though the halacha is that you really don't have to mix the flour and the oil. Even if you didn't mix it, it's good. Yet the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira says the din is, that if it's too much to mix, it's no good. You don't even have to mix it. It has to be fit to mix. And that's what he says. Rabbi Zeira says the following din. Kol haroi lebilam. Anything which is fit to blend to mix, ein bilam akeves, but the fact that you're not mixing it is not a problem. But she'ein haroi lebilam, but if it's not fit to be mixed, then bila makavis bay. Then the fact that you didn't mix it is a problem.
Sorry, God bless. Can you say one more time? What's how did mixing come in? Sorry.
There's a din by flour. I told you put flour offerings with oil. Okay, so the Gemara learns there has to be a shishim, whatever a certain size, that it should be mixable. So Rabbi Zeira says even though alpidin you don't even have to mix it and it's kosher. Yet if it's too much that it's not mixable, it's not kosher. Why? So he says a rule. If it's fit to mix, it's considered mixed. If it's not fixed to mix, then it's not good. So the same thing is over here. You don't need water to go inside the mouth. But it has to be water that's fit to go inside the mouth. So therefore, when Rebbe's maidservant went in and there was something stuck in her tooth, Rebbe said, you have to go again. But as far as tefillah goes, you don't have to tevil the tongue. It has to be fit to tevil. Which means if you have some, even today, I mean, if you have temporary dentures is the shayla, and the stuff, you know, when women goes to the mikveh, you have to floss the teeth and make sure there's nothing stuck in there. Why?
It's permanent
crown. Gun, that's permanent, becomes part of the tooth. I'm just saying, in the case when there's a chitzitza.
If it's a denture for a man, I have to take it off.
Men are much more makel.
Like
you
want to.
Yeah. I don't gotta take him out, but
if the pasuk meant to say everything outside, I'm just being back. Why didn't the pasuk say as or basara as opposed to as basari? It should have said the skin because the tongue is also.
It says as basari.
But basar, tongue is also basar. It's not.
Yeah, in other words, it's an outside.
Outside,
not only as far as, no, what Rebbe holds, what Rebbe's saying basically, when you're immersed in the mikveh, the internal organs have to be fit to be immersed.
And I'm just going two steps back before the whole pasuk. Everything is based on this pasuk.
Yeah.
That it's only external. Basar means external.
Right.
I'm just saying tongue is also basar. But that's
but it's not, because it's not flesh. Your tongue's not flesh. You know, it's an organ. It's not flesh. You don't have to tevil inside your stomach either. I mean, you know. But the same thing with the eyes. If you can't have a chatzitza inside the eye. Right. But I'm saying, nevertheless, you don't have to open up your eyes in the mikveh. Again, it's the same concept over here. It has to be fit. Therefore, if a woman taka wears contact lenses, she must take them out when she goes to the mikveh.
Is that the reason why the Baal Shem Tov opened his mouth and eyes underwater?
What the Baal Shem Tov did, you have to ask him. I don't explain the Baal Shem
Tov. This is only for internal organs?
What do you mean?
External, as long as it's fit for the water. Like if you have a loose watch, water is fit to go on your flesh.
Bidiyavid, if the water is able to get in there, and it does, so then it's good.
So it's not just for internal organs?
No. No, that's not because over there the water taki gets all over.
No, the watch will always be touching
no,
some part of your hand.
No. If you move it around, the water will get in at one time.
At one time?
Yep. It depends how loose it is, how tight it is. Many times, women come to the mikveh, they have either bracelets that are very tight, or they have rings, you know, their fingers swell.
Can't even take it off.
They can't even take it off, right? So, you have to take a cut off the ring, you know. But what happens, the woman's not doing it, she's not so firm, whatever. As long as, a lot of times, here, it's still a little bit loose. But you can't get over the knuckle. Okay? So then, if it's loose enough that under the water they can move it around.
That's good enough.
But yeah, it's not the best, but it's because the bottom line is, again, it's not because it has to be an oil of BS mime. The fact is, the water does get there.
Flesh means the person is actual flesh.
Right.
Prosthetic hands or feet, they don't have to be tough.
No. No, God forbid if somebody has those artificial limbs, they take them off when they go to the mikveh, because and it's worse because they're wearing it.
And it's touching
the place that's touching, that's not getting the water. So if it's permanent, that never comes off, like permanent crowns or you know things like that, then you taka don't have to take it off. But if it's not. Yeah, then, on the contrary, then the part that touches the skin, that place is not getting wet.
Literal translation of basar is meat.
Flesh.
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 So, internal organs are also called basar.
No.
If somebody's eating, let's say, liver, is not called basar?
In the broad term of basar, yeah. But in the technical sense, when the Torah said, V'rochat is called basarim b'mayim, the Torah doesn't say v'rochatz as kol person, as kol ha'adam b'mayim. The Torah could say v'rochatz as kol ha'adam b'mayim. Sadi is teaching us it has to be the open skin, the part that's not considered. But the Gemara says a big din over here, which is very practical in halacha, that it's still needs to be that even though those parts don't need to be tabled, nevertheless they still need that water should be able to come there.
Concerning the Korban Mincha,
yeah,
didn't they have certain measurements for the flour?
Right.
Why did Gemara is assuming that more or less?
Oh, Gemara has an established thing. I think it's yeah. That's it. The rabbis determined that a minch of 60 yisarins or less can be mixed evenly in one temple vessel. Minch of more than 60 yisarins cannot. Okay? Therefore, it explains at the bottom like this. The Torah says many times about the minch offering with both flour and oil as being mixed. Right. But never does the Torah say you must mix it.
Right.
Okay, the Torah speaks about the mixture of flour and oil, but nowhere does the Torah say you must mix it. So therefore, Rav Zeira explains that it has to be mixable,
right,
even if you don't. Now, the Chachamim said how much is practically speaking in the kelim size of different kelim the Beis Hamikdash. For the kelim the Beis Hamikdash, 60 isarins was mixable. More than 60 isarins was not mixable. So Rav Zeira said, but Lachera, you don't need to mix it anyway. But it has to be fit to mix.
How did they make a hekesh to this thing so far?
No. Because you see from the Torah in many places that once the Torah says you might not necessarily have to do it, but it has to be fit. In other words, by mikveh, you don't have to open your mouth for the water to go down. But it has to be in a way that it could go there. And therefore, if you have a chitzitza inside the mouth, it's not going to be a kosher immersion. By the way, this doesn't only... Today this applies to women, right? But the Moshul and Damir Beis HaMikdash with Tum and Tara, they have to make sure there's no chatzitz also.
Okay.
For men. Or a ger, when a ger tables, they need to make sure there's mamish no chatzitz. It says even Erev Yom Kippur, which is more of the, the Achaz Bashonu mikveh, so to speak, it says people should be careful. There shouldn't be any chatzitz on there. Normally during the year, men, especially men, are more makel than that, because it's not a biblical tefillah like women. But it should be, something that doesn't have a proper chatzitza. Okay. Then the Gemara says, this is ketanoi. Now, if you remember, this is going back to the Gemara before. The Gemara is speaking about the testicles of the Eved. If you cut them off, is that called an open limb, closed limb? Okay. So the Gemara says that is machlekes tanoim. See, Taisus just explains that going back to Rav Zeira's din because it's a very general din in Shas. Taisus explains what's the din of Rav Zeira. He says there's a Mishnah in Menachos. It says, if a guy says, he donates a mincha of 61 isarins. So then he has to bring 60 in one keli, and one in the next. Okay? So Rav Zeira says, why can't he just bring one? He's explaining the Mishnah. This is what the Mishnah says. So Rav Zeira says, because 60 become mixed well, and 61 doesn't. So the Gemara says, but the Mishnah, another Mishnah says, you don't even have to mix it. So that, Rav Zeira answers this, okay, anyway. Oh. So now Taisa says, really, it's what you asked, really. Taisa says in Taimar, how do we know by mikveh it has to be? Maybe the Torah says kol besare, taka only outside, not inside. How taka do you know? Maybe not. Maybe taka only in the outside, not even in your mouth. So Taisus answers because it says verachat as kol besare. It's just that verachat says besare. What is kol besare? Even the hidden places. But the Gemara says, but it means v'yadav. But the Torah says the word v'yadav, which should be open. So the Gemara learns only the open limbs need to be tabled, but the hidden limbs need to be fit that it could be tabled.
This based on along the same lines. If you're standing on the bottom on the mikvah,
yeah,
or your fingers are closed, where you between the fingers are not getting it, or your hands are like that, is that any problem?
As long as it's very, if it's not very tight, it's not a problem.
What's not very tight? Your hands.
Yeah.
As long as water could get there.
As long as water can get there.
Even if at the same.
Right. What even if you stand on the floor of the mikveh.
Yeah.
So there's water on the floor of the mikveh.
You told us when you tovel the dishes, in case you want to hold on to the dish.
You first tovel your hand.
You tovel your hand. So
right.
Same concept.
You yeah, hand. Because then the hand becomes, but it's not.
You tovel the hand, it doesn't have to be floating in the water.
What? It's better too. It says, what happens though if you're afraid you're going to drop it? So then you tovel your hand first, and then, because then your hand has mikvah water on it, so it's not a tzitzit. Okay, this is going back to the other Gemara. The Gemara said, the Gemara is discussing of the argument of Tanoim if the testicles, the beitzim of the Eved is called open limbs and closed limbs. If he goes out free, he doesn't go out free. So the Gemara says, this is a machlekes Tanoim concerning Karbonis. It says, "Umoach v'chosos v'nosik v'chodus." If one whose genitals are squashed, crushed, torn, or severed, okay, meaning an animal that has any of these problems, you should not bring it as a carbon, okay. Kulam bebeitzim. All these refer to the testicles. The crushed, torn, squashed refers to the animal's beitzim, as they're called. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Meaning, that when is the animal blemished, even if the actual male organ of the animal is still good, except the testicles are crushed, it's also not a kosher animal. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara says right away, Bebeitzim v'lei begid? I talk him only the testicles and not the male member, the male organ. That's more exposed even by an animal than the testicles are. So the Gemara says, Ella right. Kulon av bebeitzim. All these things refers to even the beitzim of the animal. Meaning, if the male organ is crushed, severed, for sure it's no good. The chiddush is, even the testicles of the animal are also no good. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Eimer, no, kulon begid. All these, this pasuk doesn't even refer to the testicles. We don't care about the testicles. Whatever happens to the testicles of the animal is not a problem.
It's kosher.
It's kosher. Why? He says only when you begid, because they're not exposed. So therefore, it doesn't matter what's with that part of the animal. Rabbi Yasi says, he makes in between. Moch v'chosu, squashed and crushed, we fly even to the beitzim. Nosik v'kodus, torn or severed, only by gid. Only by the actual member, male organ, yeah? But beitzim late. Lepel, you see three opinions. One says, the pasuk says four things. Moch, kosos, nosik, v'chodos. Squash, crushed, torn, or severed. One opinion says it only applies to the testicles, not to the male organ. Some would say it only applies to the male organ, not to the testicles. And as one opinion says the testicles are considered closed, hidden. The other opinion says they're considered closed. And the other, Rabbi Yaisi makes in between. But you see, there's an argument whether the beitzim of an animal and the same thing of an eved, are they considered exposed organs or hidden organs?
Same term is used for a coin, right?
Yes. Yeah, for a blemish, for a coin, yes. Okay, now we're going into different type of Gemara. The Mishnah says, before we learned, so far, discussed how women are required, right? Keser, Shtar, and Bia at the beginning of the Masechta. Then the next Mishnah was discussing how you acquire Avodim. Okay? Now the Gemara is discussing how do you acquire animals. How are you kind? I sell you an animal or give you an. How do you, Till now we learned how you kind an Evid, how you kind an Isha, whatever. Now the Mishnah says like this. Behemagasa means a large animal. Large animal basically are ox, sheep, not sheep. Sheep are small animals. Bulls, the big animals.
That you can't pick up.
Horses, donkeys, mules, cows, that stuff.
I thought behemoth is only kosher animal.
No, here we're talking about how to be kind. I want to sell you a horse.
No. I thought term behemah.
No, only, no. They said behemah shetechel, and they said behemah shaleisechlo. The difference between behemah and chay is behemah is domestic, the domestic animal that you have at home, and chay is the wild beasts. But behemah got behemah tmeah, behemah kshera. I mean, it's not.
Chaya is part of behemah.
Well, chaya b'chlal behemah, that's general. But when you define what's the difference between behemah and chaya, behemah is domestic and chaya is wilde chaya.
There was something different between behemah and chaya. Regarding tumah?
There's a din of kisei adam. By a behemah, you don't have to cover the blood. By chaya, you do. Yeah, different dinim about.
Offering.
Yeah, behemah can bring a korban. Well, IOT, but whatever. But there's a lot of difference in them. But there's not a difference between kosher and not kosher. This here, the Mishnah says, "Being makashas, push it. I sell you a donkey, a horse, a cow. You know, how are you cutting it? That's called behemah gasa. Means a thick animal, big animal. Behemah daka is sheep and goats. Okay, it's push it, not kabbalah. It's push it, the size of them. These are big animals. These are little animals." So Gemara says like this: behemah gasa, a big behemah. The Mishnah says, "Niknas b'mesida." You can be acquire it by handing it over. That means, what do you mean handing it over? Either the reins of the animal or the mane of the animal. The mane is like the hair, like on the horse, right? That comes down. So if I give you the reins of the animal, you're kind of the animal. That's so far what we're learning. Or if I give you the animal and you take the mane, the hair, you know, the like the neck or the collar of the animal, that is called mesira. That's how you're kain it.
How about the tail?
It could be. I don't know if the Gemara is going to get into
the pull it with the head and tail.
No, it we'll soon see whether it means only mesira, whatever. But even mesira, you could hold on to the hoofs. You give him the foot of the animal, give him over the foot of the animal is also be a kinyan. Now, which means over here as follows, and this we're going to get now in the Gemara. Now we're talking about metaltalin, tangible items. Okay? In many dinim, eved is like karka. That's why you can buy an eved with kesef shtar. Okay? Money is not a kinyan. We learned this many times. Money is not a kinyan for metaltalin. If I want to sell you this Gemara, okay, I say I'm selling you the Gemara, and you give me $10. I take the $10. The Gemara is not yours. Okay, unless if I give you the Gemara and you pick it up, then you don't even need money.
That's where metaltalin picking it up is.
Well, it depends. What now we're learning all the various types of metaltalin. An animal is also metaltalin. An animal is metaltalin. Animal is metaltalin. Yeah.
As opposed to karka.
Right, and avodim is huksha, the Torah likens avodim to karka, as far as many different dinim. But if you're talking about kinyan, if I give you the Gemara, Moshul, if I say to you, I'm selling you this piece of land for $100, and you give me $100, or down payment even in the rest that you owe me, the land is yours. Because kesef is a kinyan by land. By metautalin, money is not a kinyan, period. What is a kinyan? This is what the Gemara is going to go into now. Well, obviously, you can't pick up a horse to be kinyan. I could pick up a Gemara, I could do what's called hagbah. Okay? But the Shaila is, what does it mean? So the Mishnah says, b'meisira. Okay? Well, but Rashi says, if you see the Rashi in the Mishnah, Niknas b'meisira is very important, Machlik's Rashi and Taisis here. Rashi nicknames by Mesira, what does it mean? Baila Maestrin Aisala Lekeh Ba'afsar, or beside it, give it the reins or the hair of the animal. Kitani like we learned before. Ava Meshicha Loy Mekanya. Rashi says, Meshicha is not a Kenyan animal. What's Meshicha? Meshicha is making the animal walk for Amis.
You make it, but by pulling it or by pulling
you, 1 minute. Making the animal walk for Amis. Now that could be done many different ways. I can pull the animal, I can hit the animal in the back and it's going to walk, I can call it and it comes. If the animal goes four amas because of me, But it has to be, cannot be in Rosh Hashanah, it has to be, you know, whatever. We'll learn more where the Kinyonim have to be. Then, so Rashi says, when the Mishnah says Mesira, giving it over, it doesn't mean Meshicha. That's what Rashi says. But Taisis argues, and he says, the Rivam hold it, so the Ri argues, and the Ri says, Meshicha is also good. But the Mishnah means even Mesira is good. Even Mesira is good. And they bring down that the Ran learns that Rashi really holds like Taisis also. Whatever. Whatever that means. Okay. So anyway, Behem Agas and Niknas be Mesira. So let's learn the like Rashi learned, with Mesira. Devrei Vadaka, and the small animal, is by Hagbah. Picking it up. Okay? Now, what happens though, according to this opinion, it's only Hagbah, not Meshicha. Or Mesira. We're going to learn more in the Gemara, we're going to see there's a lot of different opinions over here. What does the Mishnah actually mean? The Mishnah says a statement. Large animals you acquire with Mesira, giving it over, the reins or whatever. And a small animal, you kain a b'hagbah. Now, many Mefarshim learn that when the Mishnah says small animals, hagbah, means only hagbah, not Meshicha. That means, if I have a goat, and I hit the goat, and the goat walks 4 amis, I'm not kain a the goat. Unless I pick it up.
Is that one opinion? Or?
No, that's the Mefarshim explain.
You have a bad cake in
Kempo. Yeah. Some goats could be
yes, yeah, so then you need somebody else to pick it up for you.
Oh.
If you're Yishliach to pick it up, then he's kind it for you.
That's what we are
avoiding. Yeah. Could you make an effort to Shliach or not? Okay, but why? So Mefarshim explain like this. Really, the best Kenyan is Hagbah. What? The concept of a kinyan means a sign of ownership. That's what kinyan means. Kinyan means it was yours, you owned it. Kinyan means now it's my ownership. So I have to do something that shows ownership. The gulim by karka, even if you make a fence around the field, you dig holes in the, you do something that shows ownership, that's the concept of a kinyan. Obviously you can't pick up land. But you do something that shows ownership, okay. So Mefarshim explain, real ownership is when you pick it up. But practically speaking, you can't pick up a horse. You can't pick up a cow or an ox. So the Avraham Chachamim said, okay, practically you can't pick it up, so we're going to let you schlep it. Or Mesir or Meshich or both, whatever. But because a little animal, you could pick up, and I'm saying what these opinions hold. So therefore, the Chachamim said, because Hagbah is really the best Kenyan, so when you could do Hagbah, you must do Hagbah. Right. Otherwise, you're not kain it. In other words, in a practical sense, it will come out from the Gemara like this. What happens if I buy from you a battery-operated car? Okay? And I want to be kain it, the little car. Yeah? So I'll turn it on and it'll go. Yeah? L'chay, that wouldn't be a kinyan. If you could pick it up, this is what these Mefarshim learn. So when the Mishnah says, Hagbah, meanwhile, this is only Rameh and Rabbi Eliezer. By the way, this is only their opinion. But Rameh and Rabbi Eliezer hold a small animal is Dafke Bagbah in it. Chachamim Eimrim say no. Behem Adaka Niknes B'Meshicha. Behem Adaka could also be kinded with Meshicha. Okay? Now, the Mefarshim learned, it's not that they hold not Hagbah also, because Hagbah is better than Meshicha. The first opinion says, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir hold, a small animal is only Hagbah. And like Rashi said, V'lei b'Meshicha. The Chachamim hold, you could even do Meshicha. Why? L'cheira, Hagbah is a better king, you can pick it up. So they write, because sometimes even small animals, when they don't want to be picked up, they stick their feet into the ground in a way that's very difficult to pick them up. So therefore, the Chacham hold, if that's the case, the Mashiach is also good.
So according to the first opinion, you can never use Mashiach.
The first opinion? Well, it depends. According to Taisis, you could, according to Rashi, not. Right.
So what good is it then? When do you use Mashiach?
We're not done with the Gemara yet. I mean, it's not necessarily going to stay like this. What?
You said by land you have to do something to the Kaka?
Keser Shtar or Chazaka.
By the Avos, Hashem said walk it.
Yeah. Lei Chazaku Kni. La'arko L'rochbet says Avram Avinu made a king in Eretz Yisrael like that. So that was a sign. Yeah.
Or you didn't dig or make a fence or...
No, I'm saying you could.
Walking is one of the ways.
Yeah. It's a whole discussion in the Poskim. How is Eliezer able to be a shliach to Mekabel Get if he was an Eved? So the, before Matan Torah, it's all different than completely.
Did you say the Mekabelin is by
Hagbah? Or, if it's Metalton that you can do Hagbah like a Behemagasa, then it's either Mesir or Meshicha.
If you're Shimshon HaGibber.
No, you go to Kenya with throw most people. Yeah. What most people give. I mean, what most people are able to do. So then you don't need the hagbah. But you can't be kind of something by blowing it and make it go 4 amis, let's say. Or like, you want to be kind of a ball. Yeah? You can't roll it on the floor 4 amis to be kind of it. You have to actually pick it up and be kind of. But again, money is not the Kenyan. Right. Money is not the Kenyan. Only, By Metautlin. It's not a Kenyan.
Secular law is like that too with objects.
No, money is a Kenyan secular law.
If you buy something from somebody and haven't picked it up.
Oh, the question when the responsibility begins. But once I pay for it, it's mine.
You can use shatar and money.
You can what?
And money.
In secular law.
Right.
Yeah. But shatar is not good for Metautlin either. It's only good for people and land.
Land you can pick up. You can dig and pick up. You
know. I want to be kind of an acre of land. How do I kind of the acre? By picking up 2 inches. If I pick up the whole acre, yeah. By the way, Agba is not a Kenyan by Karka.
But if you don't pay for it,
I owe you the money.
I'm sorry?
I owe you the money.
Well,
if I say I'm selling you the Gemara for $20, yeah, I give you the Gemara, you pick it up, yeah. Then it's your Gemara. I have a debt. I owe you $20, but after that, I can't change my mind anymore, and you can't change your mind. And now both agreed to change our mind. Yeah, then everybody can do whatever you want. But once you give the if I give you money, we can both change our mind. Gemara Mishnah says he got cursed, Mishapara, you know, because you don't keep your words. But legally, once I give you it, you kind it, it's yours. I give you an animal, I didn't pay for it yet, yeah? I'm selling you an animal. And you do Mashiach, Akbar, Mesir, or whatever it is. Okay? And then the animal drops dead. Gets a heart attack, and drops dead. It's your loss, not my loss. You're a kainer, it's your animal, it's not my animal. And you owe me the money, by the way. Going to Allah, you owe me the money. If I just gave you the money, and then, or you gave me the money, and the animal died, it's my loss, not your loss.
So humans are not considered metalten?
No.
They're separate.
Separate breed. But the Gemara says before, Eved hush v'lekakois. We're going to say it later also a lot. Okay, Eved is likened to karka.
Not ever, just non-slave human. Like if you want to adopt a son, a child.
You're not kind of a child.
Picking up a child, you're not in a bone. You need shatar.
You're not kind of a child. How can you be kind of a child?
I don't know, how do they...
Eved.
How do they...
Adoption.
Adoption,
yeah. And your own son, how are you kind of?
So you don't need pinyin for adoption.
No.
How could shtar not be good enough for everything? Why do you need to actually pick it up?
Because the Gemara learns are all kinyan from Sukkim. And different things have different signs of ownership.
I mean, a exchange of money should be sufficient. For sure, should be sufficient.
No, it's not.
Should be.
There's a machlekes later in different places. Dvar Torah Mois Kaina, not Amar Ula Dvar Torah Mois Kaina, if Mois Minat Torah Midrabon. Now we're talking bottom line, the Mishnah Gemara is talking about getting everything Midrabon Minat Torah. There are opinions that hold Dvar Torah Mois Kainas, the Minat Torah money acquires. Yeah. Many people, but the Chacham said no. Because it's not a sign of ownership. Thank God.
The best sign of ownership, no? Shtar is not the best sign of ownership?
No.
No, it
doesn't apply today in our situations. Does it apply?
Where?
In business.
In business.
In business, there's a big promise called Dina de Malchus Adina. The law of the land is the land. But if people want to go by technical halacha, like two from business people, go by halacha, they go by the iskinyan. But there's what's called minig atagrim. Minig atagrim, the minig of business people. Tagar is the Gemara expression for business people, right? Moshe, give me an example. Many diamond merchants, I've told this many times. In Antwerp, when they want to sell diamonds, they give a handshake and say, mazel u'bracha. That's the deal closer. Right. No money, nothing changed. Mazel u'bracha. Then, because that's the minig, that closes a deal, that closes the deal, al-pi aloch. Because that's the minig. In mominis, in momin issues, a lot deals with minig amokim. Even in Chayshim Mishpo, we have all the dinim of Teiro, you know, monetary laws, damages and all that. But in Chayshim Mishpo, the poskim write that this is when you keep Teiro law the way it is. But bizman hazeh, you have dinim machus adina. And a monetary issue is even if it contradicts Torah. Many times you go by Minig Medina, because Torah itself says you go Minig. It's a very practical example. I mentioned this in the Mincha Maariv time a while ago. I'll be Torah if a kid breaks your windows. Yeah? Kid throws a stone. Gemara says, Chayra Shaita V'Gerasha. The Mishnah says, Pigios and Ra. Meeting up with them is terrible. You damage them, you gotta pay. They damage you, they don't have to pay. They're not responsible for their actions. Okay? So a lot of times you have in school, kids break other kids' things.
Their parents don't have to pay?
One minute. If you go by Torah law, yeah. But in civil law, if your kid breaks something, you're responsible for it. So how do Rabbanim Paskin today?
Torah law
not? No. Cotton, I'm not responsible for my kid under Bar Mitzvah. Over Bar Mitzvah, they're responsible themselves. That's what the Mishnah says, be gossin raw. If they damage you, they don't have to pay. Not because they don't have money. Because Moshe, the Mishnah says, a woman, a married woman, officially in Torah law, she has no money. Whatever she owns belongs to the husband, yeah? So what happens if a woman is mazik? A woman takes a rock and breaks your window. The husband's not mechuyif to pay. He didn't do it. Why should he pay? She, 1 second. She has to pay. She has no money. Because the money's the husband's. The husband's have to pay for her. So the Mishnah says, if she ever gets divorced, or the husband dies, and she gets money, she's mukhayiv to pay that debt. It's a chayiv that becomes effective when she gets money. Meaning that the husband dies or divorces her and she gets money. But the cotton is not mukhayiv. But today, Rabbanu will paskin, because dinah malchus dinah, the law is parents are responsible for what the kids do. You have to pay, and that's what Torah law will say.
When we're talking about kinyan, what's the kinyan of a handkerchief?
Suder.
Many times, but
kinyan suder.
I don't understand.
By me giving you this, I'm giving you that. It's a switch.
I don't understand.
It's called chalipin.
Exchange.
By me giving you the handkerchief, you're giving me your thing.
So when I was getting married, you gave me a handkerchief. I don't remember.
No, that's a sign that by picking it up. Yeah, you're binding yourself. That's a sign that you're legally binding yourself to what it says in the Ksuba.
In case of money doesn't acquire movable objects, we learn that in case a merchant sells something and gets some money, he wouldn't be a good watch. He wouldn't watch it well if the Hachamim didn't put a restriction on it.
With what?
Let's say a merchant sells something to you, gets some money, but then overnight he's not careful with your object that he's keeping overnight. And, you know,
he, so therefore he has to, Yeah, but the money itself is not a kinyan.
Right, that's why...
You still have to give back the money because you were negligent watching the money I gave you. But it's a debt. In other words, if I tell you the Gemara for $20 to come back to your question. If I sell the Gemara for $20, you give me $20, it's still not yours. If you pick it up, then it is yours, even if you didn't give me the $20.
So the merchant is responsible for it. The Torah makes him responsible for it until it's picked up.
Until it's picked up, but if the guy was kain it, I'm the shemachinim, whatever.
It's only between two Jews, whether a Jew and a goy.
It depends. When the Torah law has its jurisdiction, then you go by Torah law.
Like if a goy sells you something,
yeah,
you don't need to do a kinyan, just pay.
No, you have to do a kinyan.
According to Torah, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So Gemara says like this. That was the Mishnah. Dardash Rav Bekimcha Rav once lectured in the city called Kimchunya. And he said, Behem Agasin Niknes B'Mashicha. Mamish differently than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you came to B'Mesira, and Rav said you came to B'Mashicha. So what happened? Ashkechin, Shmuel, Tamidid Rav. So Shmuel bumped into Rav's Talmidim, because Shmuel heard that Rav said such a thing. So he said, Amelu mi amer Rav, behem agas and niknes b'meshicha, v'anam b'mesira teran. Our Mishnah says b'mesira, how can Rav say b'meshicha? And not only that, and Shmuel said to them, I know for a fact, Rav nami b'mesira amar. Rav himself says you have to be kind of b'mesira. How did Rav say, in the city, Kimchunya, whatever it's called, that Rav said the Meshicha. So Gemara says, Rav changed his mind. Huh?
Which one is an expert in Mamanus?
No, I'm sorry. Hade Be'ahi. Shmuel asked the question, Did Rav change his mind? So he says, no. Huda Amar Ki Haytana. Rav didn't change his mind. Rav disagrees with our Mishnah. He also like another Tana. What does another Tanya say? The Tanya we learned in the Braise, Chachamim Meimrim, Zu v'zu niknes b'mashicha. There's a Braise that says the Chachamim hold both big animals and small animals are b'mashicha. Rab Shimon Eimer, this is strange, that Zu v'zu b'hagba.
Even a big
animal you gotta pick up. So right away, Gemara's maskel of Rav Yosef, ala me'ata pil et apshim b'mayikna. How are you going to be kind of an elephant? How are you going to be kind of an elephant if Rav Shimon says big animals and small animals are b'hagbah? So you say, amale abay b'chalipin. You're right, not by picking it up. There's a different kinyan called chalipin. Exchange. Okay, you give him a garment, like a handkerchief. By him acquiring the handkerchief, he get or... Beseches mekayme. You rent a place where an elephant is, like we do by chametz. You rent a place where the chametz is on, and he's kind of was called agav karka. By kayin the land, so then he acquires.
That's how we do it.
One of the kinyanim. There's many kinyanim we do. One of the kinyan is we rent to the guy the place where the chametz is on, and by acquiring land with money, so then he acquires all the objects that are on. So it's very interesting. So you have a number of different opinions over here. Our Mishnah holds big animals, you're only kind of b'mesira. In the Braise it says, Meshicha. Right? Big and small. And the Pshimit says, Boz b'hagbah. But that, so therefore the students told Shmuel, the Rav Taka disagrees, not that he disagrees with the Mishnah, he's disagreeing with the Mishnah because he has a braisa that says that the Chachamim hold Behem Agas is b'mashicha and Behem Adaka b'mashicha. Yeah, but that the Gemara only says when they have mamish no choice.
So you can't stand just for this.
The Gemara doesn't like using that answer only if there's no choice, mamish. But here they have a choice.
Which one of the two is an expert in mammas?
Shmuel.
Shmuel was?
Shmuel was the expert in mammon. And Rav.
Is this considered mammas?
Sure. The halacha is like Shmuel in Maminus because that was his expertise, and Rav was in Isser. So when there's machleks Rav and Shmuel, the rule is if it's Isser and Heter, the halacha is like Rav. If it's Mamin, the halacha is like Shmuel.
So shouldn't the halacha be like Shmuel over here?
We're not saying what the halacha is.
But
the Shmuel didn't say any halacha. All Shmuel said, why is Rav going against the Mishnah? Right? So he says, I have a price. What Shmuel holds with, after he heard that, I don't know. It doesn't say if Shmuel agreed with it or not. But it's a very interesting thing. According to Rav Shimon, the only way you can acquire is, Yeah, but you see, according to Shmuel, he brings on to the bottom over here, what the Mefarshim say, that according to Shmuel, if you bring the elephant into your house, into your courtyard, so your courtyard acquires it. Here we're talking about acquiring the animal before you bring them home. If I bring something to my house acquires, chotzer, it acquires things, right? If something falls into my backyard, that's fenced, I acquire it, if it's efker. So if the guy brings the elephant home, for sure Shmuel would hold it. Here we're talking about what's an earlier stage of a kinyan that you could be
when they make the deal.
Because he says most kinyanim take place in the seller's house. So how can you acquire like this? You pick it up, you acquire it. But how do you acquire an elephant? Okay, leave it here. But the observer, by the way, answers another cute answer. You bring four things. And you make the elephant stand up on the four things, like in the circus. So then, you did hagbah.
You raised the animal.
The animal got up because of you. Well, but that's the next piece of
mercy. What
time is
much hand
this
way?
Mincha? 7:25.
Okay. Why?
Just wondering.
Okay, just answering. No, I don't know. You guys do it later than most people.
Huh?
Which office?
This morning I got here. Everything.
What?
And this morning I got here. The outside door is open. All the office doors are open.
I Lady didn't let me leave. She says, you know, you can't just leave her here with nobody here.
Mendel, you can't be there all day. There's nothing to do there.
Okay, I was there for 2.5 hours. 2 hours.
You serious?
Yeah, because I figured, what's the difference? I'm going to go pick up the kids. She'll go pick up the kids. She'll pick me up afterwards. No, nothing. So they read.
So you're on the left?
Yeah,
finally.
The land, 1 month.
1 month, yeah, they're off. They're off the whole Nissan. Whole Nissan. Okay.
Did they finish?
Yeah. They're off Nissan and off. The pilot issue, yeah, off the street. Well, if you know, some of them come and say to me, children. They like stay, they told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to get used to the weather.
He's going back next year, he told me. The plan. Yeah, but he wasn't there. I just got something I needed. And
regular?
Regular. I was hoping to speak to him. You'll see.
Tomorrow's the 14th.
Oh, you're right. Tomorrow's the
14th. So I'm going to need a rent check, and I want to go speak to him. I'm speaking about something that I can't even dream about, but
okay, I'll see you.
Bye. Yes, sir, Moshe, I got it.
It's nice to you.
Good night.